You would all remember a few years ago, I think in 2018, there was a change of government in Northern Sudan. So I'm just saying this in passing, yeah. So what happened was, like, this powerful man, he was becoming part of the transitional government, and he was really wicked, this guy, and very brutal. He's a militia. And so people were having a conference, and so he was excusing the presence. There was a heavy presence of media. And he excused people that he was going to go. And then there was another guy to take over. He's a military. They were all military. So what happens, like, the other guy who was going to lead after that, he thought the mic was off, but actually the mic was on. And then he was like leaning over to another guy, and he said, "People think that the guy who is going is terrible and brutal. They didn't know that I'm worse than him." And so that went on air. So as I was sitting there and this was sitting on me, I thought, well, I better be careful not to say anything that might be air. Yeah, so here. Yeah. Well, look, as we turn to God's words, let us pray together. Yeah, Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your word. We thank you that it is revealed word of yours, we divine word. We thank you that we can approach it, Lord God, with trembling, and with the knowledge that there's nothing from us that we can bring to your word apart from what you say to us. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit may enable me tonight, Lord God, to share, Lord God, your word with your people. And I pray also that you will work in our hearts to truly speak to our hearts and help us to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we live in times where people think not believing in God is okay. It is my choice to believe in God or not to believe, and it is okay. I can get away with this, and I can live the life I want to live because I'm free. I make my own decisions. And so nobody can tell me that I have to believe in God. If there is ever God, then I don't want to believe in him. So this is the sort of things we hear around us every day. So many people are living apart from God, away from God, not trusting him, not honoring him, and not regarding him as the maker of the whole universe. So even let alone the maker of themselves. So where do they come from? They don't ask these serious questions, this complicated life, like the human being. That cannot be created by a big bang, you see. That has heart and lungs to work, kidneys, liver, all parts of the body, and legs to walk and mind to think. All these things, and the atheists, just they miss this. Just imagine if God, who has done all this wonderful work in creating human, let alone the creation that we will be talking about shortly, how do you think God would feel? How do you think that the Lord God would feel? Well, the subject of God anger or wrath is also not spoken of very often. And so even in the church today also, perhaps it's creeping even into our midst to think that also we can get away with things that we can do or think and feel and do and manipulate things. Well, God also is the same God. If this God can be angry with the ungodly, also I can assure you that also this God can be also angry with his own people. Because we will see in chapter 2, Romans, chapter 2, he will also deal with people who have the Bible, the Jews. Even though the first part here we are going to deal with is primarily really revealing more of the practices of the Gentiles, those who are far from God, those who think that they don't have the Bible. They don't have the Bible. So here we see from this text that God's wrath, God's anger is against human sin. And God does this as a demonstration of his righteousness. Because he's a righteous God, so he can be angry against the ungodliness, the godlessness, the wrath. So this is what we see in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. Men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So God declares that he is God who is angry. That he is now as we speak. He is angry. Perhaps we talk a lot about how God is a merciful God. But God also is an angry God. Because if God is not angry against the human sin, then human would not need salvation. There is no need for you and I for salvation, to cry out to God for mercy, because he is angry, and he is his wrath is revealed, is fiery. So that is why we run to him and we ask for mercy and we ask for forgiveness, and that is how we receive salvation, those who have been saved. It was not just because you were nice and just to be just made nicer. No. I remember one day I was talking with my friends in the kitchen back in African Hope Learning Center where I was working. That must have been back to 1998. And we were just saying how some of us were not really very rebellious and perhaps polite and nice and more cultured and so things like that. I made a point that I was not immoral. And so my friends were around, and the principal was there, the lady who was the head of our school. And all of my friends, they just bursted into laughing. They said, oh, no, they loved it. Because I said, the only thing I did wrong was the smoking. And then they just laughed, and they said, you were immoral. I said, yes, okay, yes. Well, God's wrath or anger is being revealed against ungodliness. And because God has given mankind enough revelation of himself, what kind of God he is. And so, and this is what really Paul is going to tell us shortly. God's nature and versus man's nature. And Paul says, the reason God is so angry against the godlessness and wickedness of men who surpass the truth by their knowledge, the truth of the fact that God has revealed himself, because this is what he's saying. Because what may be known about God is plain to them. What could be known about God is plain to the humankind. So the all that we see, God has made it plain to them, to the people, to the mankind. God has made it plain that he is such a God who is mighty, who is powerful. Since what may be known about God? What is to be known about God? His power, his majestic power. Because Paul in verse 10 would say, 20 would say, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. So he says, God has revealed these things. He has created the whole universe, the heaven and the earth, the oceans, and so a man is without an excuse. And why just nature, heaven and the earth, in this form, should cause sinners to believe or to have a regard that there is God? Well, you and I, we know that the creation is the object or subject of our praise, isn't it? We praise God because he has created these things. So his character is revealed in these things, because when we sing, the Holy Spirit proves to us that this work is a mighty work of God, and no one can ever do this. That is why when we sing, I don't know who wrote this song, God of heaven and the earth, God beyond our galaxy, you are holy, God of heaven and the earth. It's one of the most beautiful songs. I don't know who wrote it. Whether if they are Pentecostal, I give them 150 out of 150. God of heaven and the earth, God beyond the galaxy. The universe declares his majesty. And that is why God was so angry. Because this should declare his majesty and his power and his glory. And that is why for those who are faithful, those who are Christian, those who are fearing God, those who love him, they can praise him because of what they see. So this is not just like something to make our world beautiful. No, God was displaying his power. He was displaying his glory and his majesty. After all, he created a beautiful universe. A beautiful world. A beautiful world before even he could create us. Because when he created everything through the 6 days, and then he said it was good in his eyes. All that he has created was good. And then when he created you and I, he said it was very good. So he has created a good human beings in a very good creation order. Or created order. This is why God's wrath was declared against those who suppress this knowledge. They suppress it. They hold it back. And so they act as if there's nothing there. They're as if nothing has been revealed to them. And this is one of the things. Because what we say about the earthen or unbelievers, we can equally say it about us. Because actually what God says it's Jesus always. He will point us to Jesus. I preached today to my newer fellow, and I preached one of the texts I preached here, Colossians 1, 9 to 14, about like Paul prayed this prayer so that we live a life worthy of Christ. Worthy of Christ, that we have been given this knowledge that we cannot suppress, we cannot avoid. The fact that I need to repent, the fact that I don't need to hold anything against a brother or to be envious, because these things, they are the very thing that arouse God's anger and wrath against those who will practice godlessness. Godlessness, the fearlessness of God, that there is no God in them. They are godless, and I think if I understood the word. So God is subtracted in their life. There is no God in their life. Because the absence of God in their life and their practices, wickedness, yes. Because they suppress this wonderful truth. Let me press on. Because God has clearly, this is what Paul is saying, God has clearly, not just partly, clearly revealed himself. For since the creation of the world, God is God's invisible qualities. We can talk about his invisible qualities. So when we say God is love, we can't see that love, isn't it? When we say God is infinite or infinite, so we can see these things. But these things we have seen through all that he has made. We can talk about his character, omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, as the old theologian will tell us. All these qualities together, they work to reveal to us the God of the whole universe, the God of the creation, the God that we worship today. How God reveals his wrath. How does God reveal his wrath? Well, if I pick up verses 21 to 23. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal God. Mortal man. But I just don't want to go quickly to what God did to demonstrate his wrath. I'd like to see the actions of men in the verses I just read. These are their actions. They knew God. They knew God. They neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. It's just surprising me that even the text that I preached from this afternoon, there was a verse which say that Paul wants these Colossians to know that they need to give thanks to God, joyfully giving thanks to God, for he has qualified them to be heir of the kingdom of God. So giving thanks. So these people, they didn't give thanks to God because of all that he has made for them. When they were eating fish, they were drinking water and doing all these things and enjoying God's world. God was sustaining them, and yet they didn't thank him. And God said, this is godlessness. This is unrighteousness. This is the lack of thankfulness of God's goodness also raises God's wrath against these people. These two friends, they seem to be so just a common knowledge. No, it's not a common knowledge. This is a divine revelation of God. And God actually wrath rages because of these two things. They did not glorify God nor thank him. And this is how he reveals his wrath. Therefore God gave them up over, or gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Do we see anything like this around us today? Do we see this? If we see this today, well, this is the same thing. Many of us, before we come to faith, this is what we were looking like. Because actually being a believer is not about being trained to be a better human being, to have better morals. It's a different system altogether. Because I have interacted with a lot of other people from different faiths, they have morals. Sometimes you doubt your own morals when you interact with them. But this is not really so from God's perspective. God is saying, these people, let me explain it by talking about us as believers, because this is the only way we can fully understand this. The reason why we are not engaging in these practices today, why? It's because God has revealed his mercy to us in the gospel that we have come out of that. And that is the only reason why we are not practicing, going on being like the people described here. And so we can begin to appreciate this God's wonderful provision for us. And that is why the gospel in 16 and 17 of chapter 1 is the power of God to the salvation of those who believe. Because the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. As the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel, also the righteousness of God is revealed in his anger against the ungodly. So God gave them up because God now is stopped helping them, calling them out. He gave them up. And actually he left them to these practices, awaiting judgment. And that is why now we call them, we say, look, there is a chance now. As we go and we share the gospel for those who are not believers, we say, come out, believe in the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will escape corruption, you will escape destruction, you will escape God's judgment. God gave them up. to sexual impurity. It's just so ugly to be engaged in such practices. This is the nature of sin, and Satan is holding people down in these practices because God himself has given them over. These people, they were given over because you see men marrying men, women, women. And so the Bible says they exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the creation, the Creator who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them up over to shameful lust, and even their women exchanged natural relations for natural ones. Even the same thing also men. So we see what we see today is just God's wrath being poured out on these ones. It's because God's wrath. When you see the gay movement, it's just the people being given over to these practices. And perhaps today we don't think that the worship of idols is confined to the antiquities, all times. No, even in our day to day, there are objects, there are things that people worship. You go through Springvale, you see everything. Buddhism, Hinduism, they do the same thing. They have their God sitting there, and so they worship them. So this is what verse 25 says. They exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator himself. And that is why it is so dangerous for Christians to love things, other things, more than God, because they become idols. So God gave them up to sinful desires, because, and now also he gave them up over to shameful lust, sinful desire and shameful lust. So God has done this. This is how God punishes these people. And so he went on to say, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to depraved mind. So this really include the whole man, the whole person. It's mind, soul, body. So the person is permeated by sin from top to the toe. So the person is fully corrupt, and so you cannot have a good mind in a corrupt body. You cannot have a corrupt body in a good mind. There is all together. And you cannot have good desire at the same time bad desires. So just if you have bad desires, you are just given over to these bad desires and the lust of the flesh, and also a futile thinking. So the whole mind, soul. So you know God has called us to love him with all our hearts and mind and soul. And you know that no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So your mind is to be convinced that Jesus is Lord, and your heart is to love him, and then you bring your whole body under his lordship, and you think that this is the temple of God, bought with the blood of Jesus, and therefore I honor God in my body, because the gospel has been, the righteousness of God has been revealed in the gospel, because I have come to believe, I have come to be united with Christ, I have come to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and so now I praise God for this. But for those who are far, so they are in trouble, and so God gave them over. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. It's just not only just mental knowledge, but the heart knowledge and everything. He gave them over to the depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness. So one of the things that I find so difficult, so this is more list of sins and ungodliness, or you can call them fruits of the flesh. Paul says they are filled with every kind of wickedness. So they are called every kind of wickedness. And now he lists them. Wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. A person, you cannot give what you don't have. So you are full of emptiness. Or you are empty altogether of anything good, devoid of godliness, devoid of mercy and grace and love. Nothing. Nothing that is of God. And so the people who are not in Christ, this is how they are. They are given over to all these things by God. Malice, murder, strife. How many killings do we hear of? So in South Sudan, in other parts of the world, in Ukraine, human being butchering people. So this is the nature of sins. God has allowed this. So they even gossiping, we heard of this morning. It's just terrible. It shouldn't be named among the people of God. And I've seen this happening every day. Every day. And I no wonder why the church can struggle. Why the church can languish. Because we are sharing with the people who have been given over. When we have been given the grace to believe in the gospel. They are sinless, faithless, heartless, have no mercy, They don't sympathize. Sometimes they take the place of the judge. The judge, God is the judge. And now God is declaring that these people, they are without any excuse because they have enough evidence. Not because the general revelation, all that we see, is enough for man's salvation. No, Paul is not saying that we are saved by just looking around us and seeing the nature. No, he's not saying that. And he will develop that in chapter 10. He will say that no. So faith come by hearing, and hearing of the word of God, of the gospel. But he's saying that these men, at least, they should fear God. They should not give themselves over to these things. And they should fear, at least, they should fear God. There is God. And now, verse 28, it says this. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile retaining, because they practiced these things, God is going to judge them. God is going to further give them over. So we have seen how he has given them over to lust and to futile mind and to depravity. Verse 32, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. So these people, the Bible is saying God in his righteousness, in his wisdom, he decreed that these people should go to hell. And then you hear people saying that if God is a good God, why he would send people to hell? Why he should send people to hell? But he says that he sent these people to hell because they know God's righteous decree that he destined, he offers salvation. His decree that we should be saved. We don't deserve salvation. Why we shouldn't deserve punishment and God's wrath if we choose not to believe and trust him. So God's righteousness himself demands that he decrees that the wicked should be punished and should be destroyed. Well, many years ago, I was sharing from Acts chapter 2, chapter 5. And you know Hananiah and Sapphira, and when they lied, and so they were struck dead because they lied to God. And someone said to me in the small group, were there no any other way by which God could have dealt with these people? Because we were trying to be merciful more than God himself. But God's mercy is revealed in his character, in his great deeds, in his majesty, in the all things that he has created, in his righteousness. You see, in his righteousness. So he has revealed himself to be a righteous God who wants all to be safe and not to come to destruction. But man, because of his wickedness, so he desired that he should go his own way. Even though this knowledge about God is shouting every day. Well, God's righteous decree that these people, they deserve death. Because they did not only practice these things, but they promote this. See how many people today who call themselves like activists who are promoting really perverse activities. How many of them? So themselves, they are given over and they are now evangelizing others also to go their way. And that is how it's working. So this is relevant in our days today. We see movements that are calling people, furthering wickedness and godlessness. We see them in our midst today. Even though God has revealed all these things and the gospel has been preached for 2,000 years. And so our mission as a church today, how do we apply these things? So we should practice, we should not practice anything that comes closer to the practices of heathens, because we are no longer part of this group. We have been saved. And also we should know that we take every opportunity to declare to these people that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against godlessness and unrighteousness. So we need to do this, and we need to speak openly about this, and we need to tell them that there is a window now before Christ returns that they can reconcile with the Lord. It's not good to exchange the truth about God for a lie or for things that are less than God himself. And Paul will face the Jews also. He will tell them that also they have no excuse. You will pass judgment on someone else for at whatever points you judge the other. So these people, Paul will be speaking to them. They have their own issues as well, but now he deals with the people of Israel.